Thanks for checking out this weekly Sunday message from Carrollton UMC. We pray that God will use this to speak to you and help you grow in faith. We invite you to join us this Sunday at our 10:30 a.m. one-hour service, in person at our location in Uptown New Orleans, or live online on our YouTube channel or Facebook page. To learn more about Carrollton, please visit carrolltonumc.com, and we hope you enjoy this message.
A scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark. It is Mark 16, verses 1 through 7. Entitled, Jesus Has Risen. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." The word of God for us, the people of God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable to you in all ways, for you are our rock and our ever-present Redeemer. Amen. So today is kind of like a bonus Sunday, and I'll explain that. For the last 6 weeks, we've had a sermon series called the Back Pocket Sermon Series, and the whole point was these are ideas that you should have in your back pocket as a Christian, the axioms, the basics of Christianity. The first week, we studied about judging people and how judging people is wrong, not just that people... You judge people as bad people, but judging people as good people and judging yourself as a good person and what problems that brings. In week number two, we studied that our good works do not give us salvation. In week three, Pastor Tiffany taught us how to pray. And in week four, we discussed how any course of action for ourselves is never supposed to be about us. It's all about Jesus and following Jesus' rules and Jesus' teachings and his ways, which is clearly more than the Ten Commandments. And in week number five, Pastor Isaac talked to us about church, showed us that the Christian church, which was created by Jesus himself. Did you know that the church you're sitting in today was created by Jesus? It's not some sort of option for people who call themselves Christian. Jesus never said the church was for some people but not for other people's. And finally, last week, we discovered that when we worry, it's because we lack humility, because we think we're in control and we won't give up that control. And so there's one more key tenet that I thought today's the day we need to talk about it. So with all those six things we just talked about in the past 6 weeks, and by the way, if you didn't get to see those sermons, they're all online, they're all on a podcast. Let me say that all of those are critical to today's message, or relevant to it. But today's message for Easter really follows from week number two, which was the idea that our good works, you know, good deeds that we do, don't net us or get us salvation, eternal life. So the obvious question is then, if they don't, what does? What is the way to salvation? Now, if Jesus was here today, and if you've ever read scripture about Jesus, you know that he had a sense of humor. He might start off in the New Orleans vernacular and say, "How many times I gotta tell you?" And then refer to scriptures on the point. David, we have these four scriptures ready to roll. This first one from John 6. These are all Jesus talking. He says, "Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I'm the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever." The next one from John 11. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And then the next one, you know, I bet you know it. John 3:16, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. And then Jesus, bringing it all home in John 14, says this, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And there it is, one way. Faith in Jesus. Faith that Jesus is the Son of God who came down from heaven, lived, was crucified, was raised from the dead on Easter, and faith that he is your Savior and is the source of the forgiveness of your sins. That alone provides us salvation, eternal life in heaven. And if there were another way, Jesus would have told us. And he wouldn't have said that no one goes to the Father except through Jesus. It all seems so simple, one way in Jesus. It almost sounds cliche, or in proper English, because I know some English teachers, cliched. You know, a stereotyped expression, a phrase which expresses something popular, but because of overuse, has lost its real meaning and its thrust. And I worry about that. I worry that the concept of Jesus as the one way to salvation, well, it can't be something just for church regulars to use, like a catchphrase or a cut to the chase. And we all high five on Easter Sunday and go out to lunch. And what we remember most about the Easter Sunday service is what we were wearing. Nice, huh? Our point in the church, and in this church for sure, is never to force any concept on anyone, but rather to get you to think, to arrive at your own conclusions based upon information, what you learn, and based upon scripture and the Bible. Believe in Jesus and be saved. It seems so simple. But to quote one of my favorite churchgoers of all time, a lady who I knew, we'll call her Earlene, because that was her name. She passed away. She would say, well, it is and it isn't. And if she said that, she would be right. In its simplest form, this salvation by faith concept we have is John Wesley, who founded the Methodist Church, described it this way, and I'm paraphrasing. He said, it is a sure confidence which a man has in God through the merits of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and rising from the dead that man's sins are forgiven. Based on that knowledge, we hold tight to God for our wisdom, for our righteousness, and our redemption, and act accordingly. Through all of this, man is reconciled to favor of God. We're brought together with God, and thereby is saved. Man receives salvation. Today on Easter, no matter where you are in your faith journey, at some level, we all begin again. It may be the first day that you establish faith for the first time, or you reestablish, perhaps, your desire to continue to do what many have described as fill that God-shaped hole in each of our hearts. Having faith in Jesus seems simple, but it's no easy feat, because faith, just like Easter today, is about the things of God. It's God's world, not our world. One of the professors at that little seminary in Durham, North Carolina, I went to, said this about Easter. He said, Easter's not about the resuscitation of a dead body. That's resuscitation, not resurrection. It's not about the immortality of the soul, some divine spark that stays around after the end. That's Plato, not Jesus. Easter is about God. Not God as an empathetic but ineffective good friend or some inner experience, but God who creates a way when there was no way. A God who makes war on evil until evil is undone. A God who raises dead Jesus just to show us who is in charge here. On the cross, the world did everything it could to Jesus. At Easter, God did everything he could for the world, and he did it for you, and he did it for me. And by this, we are saved. If only we believe God did all that. Now, you can't really simply explain the things that underpin what is Christian faith. You have to witness those things. And that's why, as a follow-up to the scripture we read at the outset this morning about the tomb, the rock being rolled away and Jesus being risen, that's why Jesus went and appeared to his own disciples. They had heard him teach. They had seen him heal. They had seen him love the poor. They watched him be arrested by soldiers, wrongly tried, and crucified. More than anyone else, those disciples who were close to Jesus were the people who were best able to recognize that this was Jesus risen from the dead. Which is why those Christian axioms, those basics of Christianity that we went through in weeks 1 through 6 are so important, about bad judgments and leaning improperly on perceived good works and learning how to pray and being humble. That's why those are all so important, because those are all disciplines which open our eyes and open our hearts in a way which allows us to do what those disciples were able to do: recognize the risen Lord Jesus for who he is. And so it's not cliche or cliched to say that Jesus is the one and only way to salvation. In fact, it's very anti-cliché, because the concept, although it seems like it ought to be very popular, is unpopular with many people who don't believe, and with everyone who really doesn't want to believe. Oh, this Jesus stuff, it seems so simple at Christmas. Even people who aren't super familiar with Jesus seem to be able to hit a home run personally and with other people at Christmas. We have parties, we buy gifts. And growing up, I'll say that Easter always seems sort of second fiddle to Christmas, but if only because of the level of participation. I can hear Ricky Bobby saying it now: can't we just have Christmas time and baby Jesus? But in fact, Easter is way more complex than Christmas, and requires more of a buy-in than Christmas, but not in terms of gifts. After all, Easter is about a resurrection, about life after death. According to Jesus, and he said it multiple times, we heard it, Easter is also about your salvation, your life after death. We all know that physical death is a guarantee. It's also guaranteed, therefore, logically, that after our life here on this earth, our soul will survive, or it won't. You can believe it won't, but Jesus says it will. With him, with Jesus, in paradise. Starting with what we are celebrating today on Easter, the resurrection of Jesus, you have a way to get to that promised land. One way: in Jesus. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you've given us the gift, the opportunity, the opening, the space, the possibility of a life eternal with you. And you've laid it out in Scripture. Historically, you've laid it out in our hearts spiritually, Lord, that the way to salvation is faith in Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to open ourselves up to that possibility, to read the Scripture, to pray to you, to listen to your calling to us, so that, Lord, we can be like the disciples and recognize Jesus for who he is, the risen Christ, the forgiver of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.